once upon a time, in a land where people no longer content with just watching football, decided to take their watching to a higher level. And thus, fantasy football was born, and has since grown into a massive beast with an insane amount of varieties. PPR, standard, IDP, with points off the bench bonuses. But during the growth of the industry, many have been left in the wake, lost and confused. Is this you? Have you always had an interest but feel too far behind to join in the fun? Well, fear not, my friend. We here at Fantasy Football University have made sure we have the very best teachers ready to get you not only on the same page, but well ahead of your competition and hoisting your championship trophy into the sky. If you are tired of missing out on the fun, class is now in session.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of FFU. It is your host, Dirty Jobs Mike, and with me today, as always, I got my guys with me. I got George Reed. What's going on, George? How are we doing this evening?
Man, I am fantastic. I've been looking forward to this show all day long. We're going to go over my favorite two divisions.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. No, these are the power divisions. Jason is also with us. Jason, what is happening, man? What's going on, brother?
Dude, I am on a Leonard Fournette high. We have football in a week. Like, I don't even know what to do right now. I might have to take my pants off.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's that kind of party, you know, where it's a pants-off, dance-off. Leonard Fournette is now living in my backyard. That's actually pretty damn cool. I thought that was going to be his landing spot right away. And sure enough, there it is. And I saw Bruce Arians saying yesterday, Rojo's our guy, Rojo's our guy. And then it's like, well, until we hand Fournette the ball, that is. So I'm pretty excited. Yep, in football in a week, you cannot beat that. So we're just going to
Mike, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Hold on. I am sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm not letting you get away with that. Leonard Fournette moved into your backyard.
He did.
How much are you charging him for rent?
That dude's got like $3.5 million on this contract. He should find a nicer spot, I think.
You know,
Mike should definitely be getting some rent money out of that.
Short notice. It's a busy place, you know. I mean, but me and Leonard Fournette, you know, he goes to Wyoming. He chills for a while. Then he comes to Florida. Maybe you guys will start seeing a trend here, like that me and Leonard Fournette are best friends. So, I mean, Leonard Fournette keeps moving where I'm at. I mean, he's kind of a hard guy to get rid of. He's a good friend, and so I guess we'll take it. No, I'm very excited. Like I said, I'm pumped. I thought that was a great landing spot for him. That was some big news, seeing that he got released. That really blew me away. I was at work when that happened, and I'm like, oh, my goodness sakes. And then I just immediately got onto Twitter, and everybody else was as shocked as I was. So everybody else was thinking the Patriots. I thought the Patriots was going to be a solid landing spot too. But seeing him in Tampa, very exciting. Okay, let's go ahead and kick off to the NFC South, boys. Let's get started with this power division. We're going to start it out with the Atlanta Falcons, since I can't spell. We're going to say the Atlanta Falcons, and we're going to go with, we're just going to start off quarterback Matt Ryan, backed up by Matt Schaub. This is still, you know, we're still talking COVID, guys, and so this is just kind of a continuation from the first primer. What are we looking at here? Is Matt Schaub a good backup for Ryan? Is this a guy you're going to handcuff? Is Ryan just kind of like one of those solid guys you're getting a little bit later this year? What are you thinking on these quarterbacks? What are you thinking about this Atlanta quarterback situation?
So Matt Ryan is one of my favorite quarterbacks this year. The Atlanta defense is still atrocious. It is horrible. It is disgusting. It is just bad. It's worse than Miami's defense, put it that way. So I fully expect Matt Ryan to just have another banner year for as far as fantasy football goes. He's going to throw the ball all over the place. They got Todd Gurley in the backfield. You got Julio Jones, and I know I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but Julio Jones – you got Ridley. Hey, everybody's on the Hayden Hurst bandwagon, replacing Austin Hooper. Just weapons all over the place on that offense. So Matt Ryan is one of the quarterbacks that in almost every draft I'm looking like I'll even reach up into the eighth round to grab a Matt Ryan just because I think he can easily finish as a top five running back, and you're getting a pretty good discount getting him in the seventh, eighth, ninth round.
Well, so you asked about Matt Schaub, and I'm going to take this a little different direction and say, if I'm a backup quarterback in this league, I am as happy as you can imagine. Because Matt Schaub has been in the league 15 years and made a combined $82 million.
Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig, so, considering he's only started a couple of seasons. That listen, I'm on a tangent. We're off on the we're off in the wrong direction. But honestly, I thought Matt Schaub had retired. So when I saw his name on this list, I had to look to see exactly how long he's been in the league and exactly how much money he's made. And goodness,
I'm just saying, I honestly did not know Matt Schaub was in the NFL still. Right. Until last year when Matt Ryan got hurt and he stepped in for like a game or two for him. Like outside of that, like my mind was completely blown. I had no idea Matt Schaub was still in the NFL.
So as far as Matt Ryan goes, you know, this team led the league in pass attempts last year. They're going to lead the league in pass attempts this year. And so I like Matt Ryan, like George was saying. He's a late round quarterback, which is another thing I like. And he's going to give you a whole bunch of upside. Running backs, Todd Gurley. A lot of experts are off Todd Gurley. I'm all in. I know, George, you're all in too, right?
I just expect them to have a huge workload. Like, they've got no commitment to him. They've got nobody really behind him. I mean, you got Brian Hill, who is fawning over Quadri Allison. Ito Smith is there. Mikey Daniel, Craig Reynolds. Like, none of those guys move my meter at all. It's Gurley or bust as far as the running backs go there. And I just, there's no commitment to Todd Gurley. He's only there on a one-year deal. As long as his knees hold up, they can feed him, you know, 20 times a game for all I give a damn. And he's just going to put up solid numbers for you. And there's no commitment. Next year, the Falcons could be like, thank you, Todd. Appreciate what you did for us last year. We wish you the best of luck on your future endeavors. We're going to go ahead and grab somebody in the draft. So now,
there was a time where I was excited to hear Gurley and workload in the same sentence, but I feel like those days are kind of behind us, and it's a bummer because, like, I love Brian Hill. He's a Wyoming alum. At the same time, he has just not looked like he translated to the NFL very well. Hopefully, maybe this offseason he's improved, but the guy's had a few seasons to try to catch up here and just doesn't seem to do it. So I'm with you. I mean, that's one thing that kind of gives me a little bit of pause about Atlanta's offense is because I don't think that they have a very strong running game without Gurley. And again, the words Gurley and workload just terrify me. The wide receiver things, though, man, that's a nasty receiving core. You got Jones, Ridley, Russell Gage, Laquon Treadwell. I mean, Olamide, Zaccheaus. You know, I'd also like to throw props to the mothers out there because you guys are really, really just challenging us on how to pronounce names on this here fantasy game. And so you got like Jalen McCleskey. He's another guy that I've actually liked out of college. Are there any guys on here that you guys are grabbing as handcuffs? Like, so we talked about Gurley. We talked about Jones. We talked about Ridley. We talked about Hurst. I mean, we got like the backups for the tight end. You got Kerry Lee. You got Jaden Graham, Carson Meyer. I mean, is there any guys out here that are sticking out to you guys as guys that you got to handcuff? Say somebody like Julio Jones.
So if Julio goes down, I think it's Laquon Treadwell that it will be his replacement. It's not somebody that I'm looking to draft. I feel like he's a guy you can just pick him up off the waivers. Same with Russell Gage.
I like Russell Gage. Sorry.
But he's not somebody you're drafting.
Well, he could be a late round, very late round PPR guy, talking about last pick guy, because he's their slot receiver a lot of the time. He's their underneath guy, and he does get a lot of receptions or a lot of targets when he's on the field. So I like Gage as a really late kind of flyer, upside guy. He's never going to win you a league, but, you know, kind of like a Cole Beasley, you know, he'll get 8 catches for 45, 50 yards, and that's good enough as in a flex spot when you need a spot start.
Good enough to win you a week when you need one, for sure. Yep. No, but the Russell Gage was the guy that actually stuck out to me as well on this list. But I feel like he's almost like a starter. You know, he will be on the field even if even if the Ridley and Jones are on the field, if they go to a three wide receiver set. So
yeah, if Ridley or Jones go down, your guy's gonna that's gonna replace them is gonna be Laquon Treadwell.
Yep, I agree.
He has draft capital. I believe he was a first round pick. He's just never been able to put it together. Reports coming out of camp, you know, he's still dropping balls in camp. Like, you know, that's not stuff you want from your wide receiver at all. Like a wide receiver who can't catch. Maybe we'll get that fifth or sixth year breakout from Laquon Treadwell if he's given, you know, any opportunity at all. But only in super, super deep leagues do I have any interest in Russell Gage or Laquon Treadwell. Other than that, I've got no interest at all.
I'm with you. Well, that will move us on to the Carolina Panthers. The quarterback over there, we got Teddy Bridgewater backed up by Will Greer, P.J. Walker. The running back situation, of course, is C-Mac himself, backed up by Reggie Bonifon. Jordan Scarlett, Mike Davis still hanging around in the NFL. Rodney Smith over there. Wide receivers, you got D.J. Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, Pharaoh Cooper, Seth Roberts, DeAndre White. Man, they've got a pretty good solid list here. Tight ends, we got Ian Thomas, Chris Manhertz, Tamarack Hemingway, Rico Giovanni, I believe he's a guy that actually I've seen a few bits of tape on, and he actually kind of surprised me. I feel like there is a tight end gap going on in Carolina. That's a guy I've kind of got, like in my dynasty leagues, I've got him. He's just one of those dark horse taxi squad guys. I'd keep an eye on that guy because I think he could probably get into the NFL. He's got hands, he's got size, he's got speed. I don't think Ian Thomas is that fantastic. So anybody else on this list that really you guys are liking? Let's talk C-Mac, Reggie Bonifon a little bit.
Go ahead, Jason. I'll let you take the floor on this one.
So Reggie Bonifon's not a guy that would blow the doors off anybody, but here's the deal. If C-Mac gets hurt, it's going to be Reggie Bonifon's show, right? There's nobody else there. Mike Davis, like you said, is hanging around. Maybe get a couple of touches. I don't know. I would potentially take Reggie Bonifon late, especially if I'm the C-Mac owner. But I think that's probably the only time I'm drafting him. What I'm really hoping for is to outbid somebody with Fab if C-Mac were to get hurt for a game or two or the rest of the season. But short of that, I'm not taking either one of those guys or any of these backup running backs.
Yeah, no, same here. And I think if Christian McCaffrey goes down, you're going to see a complete running back by committee. Like, Reggie Bonifon is a good pass catcher, but he's not a good between the tackles guy. Mike Davis is not a very good pass catcher, but he is a very good between the tackles guy.
Yeah, he's serviceable, right?
Yeah, so if it's C-Mac or bust with these running backs here, very, very few teams have backup running backs that if the starter goes down, you're going to get either close to that level or really, you know, anywhere close to that level. Most of it is just guys behind the starter, and that's how it breaks down here in Carolina. These are just guys. They're nothing special. They're not super talented. This is Mike Davis's third or fourth team in as many years. Reggie Bonifon, just a guy, like nothing excites you there. If I'm the Christian McCaffrey owner in a PPR league, maybe I'm interested in Bonifon. Other than that, I've got no interest in any of these guys.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of receivers that kind of stick out. Keith Kirkwood, Seth Roberts, those guys are good deep shots. I mean, like if I'm the DJ Moore owner or something like that, I might consider it, and if I'm in a really deep bench, especially in a lot of these leagues right now, what you're seeing is they're adding IR spots, they're adding bench spots to bolster up for the COVID season. So these are guys that, I mean, if you're just looking for guys to go grab off of the waiver wire, because I'm sure that they're probably available, and you don't really have any good solid options, and you are like, say, DJ Moore owner, Robbie Anderson owner, something like that, go grab yourself some Keith Kirkwood, Seth Roberts, someone of that caliber. Those guys are actually pretty good. But I'm with you guys 100%. I don't think I have a piece of Reggie Bonifon unless I am the C-Mac owner, and then I'm going to be investing in that guy in the 15th and 16th round if I can. If somebody decides they want to grab him before that, that's fine too. I mean, I'll gamble with C-Mac. He's a good, solid player. Although I do have a I do have a red flag on him this year. I'm just kind of worried about C-Mac this year. I don't know why. Just my gut feeling. So
just wanted to touch real quick on the wide receivers here. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, Farrell Cooper's there, Seth Roberts. After that, there's like nobody of really any interest at all. I've been pretty low on DJ Moore for the really almost 2 years. And the other day I actually sat down, I looked at a little bit of tape of him. I did a little deep dive. I DM'd a couple of people who I would say are significantly smarter than me with regards to wide receivers. I don't want to Matt Harmon any names, but that may have been somebody I did reach out to because I've been coming around on DJ Moore. And I just want to say, like, DJ Moore is really good. I think he's the best. Clearly, he's the best wide receiver on this team. I'm not sure Curtis Samuel is going to be anything. I don't know. I just got a feeling DJ Moore is probably going to end up as a top seven wide receiver this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so here I'll throw into this because I've been a DJ Moore fan since he's been in the league, but what I haven't been is a fan of the team he was on with Cam Newton and the style that Cam Newton plays. Teddy Bridgewater is perfect for DJ Moore. He's a guy that throws a lot closer to the line of scrimmage where DJ Moore makes his magic, where he catches the ball, breaks a few tackles, and then is off to the races, versus Cam Newton, who was kind of a guy who would prop up somebody like Curtis Samuel or Robbie Anderson, somebody who goes deeper. I think the Bridgewater-DJ Moore connection is going to be big this year. I don't know if I'd say top seven. I would have said top 10 for DJ Moore, but I completely agree with George. I think DJ Moore's in for a huge year.
Yeah, I mean, the line to draw there is if you look like where Michael Thomas fit in when Breeze was out last year and Teddy Bridgewater sat in there. Michael Thomas really didn't skip a beat. So you can definitely see the potentials there. Teddy Bridgewater, to me, is a great quarterback. So I like it. I really like it.
I was listening to one of the podcasts the other day, and they were talking about DJ Moore. And one of the things I said is, are we sure DJ Moore isn't Michael Thomas? And I stopped for a second and I literally paused the show and I was like, you know, we don't know. DJ Moore could be as good as Michael Thomas. And we've seen how good Michael Thomas was with Bridgewater under center. And it wasn't just a small sample. It was multiple games. And there really wasn't much of a drop-off. So I agree with Jason. Like, I think DJ Moore is going to thrive with Teddy Bridgewater because he does exactly what Teddy Bridgewater likes to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, it's going to be an exciting team to watch. And, yeah, I mean, I've always been on board with DJ Moore. It's weird. I never really have too much ownership in him. I'm usually always grabbing the opposite when he's available. So, but I do have quite a few shares of him this year, so I'm excited about that.
One last thing on DJ Moore. What I do like is we're talking about him as a wide receiver one, but you're not having to draft him as one.
Correct.
You know, you're drafting him a little bit later, and so he's a top, well, what George says, top seven, right? And I say top 10 wide receiver going outside of that. So you're definitely not drafting him at a ceiling, which is something you always like to do.
You know what's funny is I have him as my 11. So, like, just right outside of that, I have him as a wide receiver one, but I have him as my 11 this year. So, okay, so with that, let's move on to the New Orleans Saints. Man, I am excited about this team this year. You got Drew Brees. You got Taysom Hill. You got Jameis Winston. You got Alvin Kamara. You got Latavius Murray, Ty Montgomery, Dwayne Washington, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Deontay Harris, Tre'Quan Smith, Lil Jordan Humphrey. And then
my favorite player in the NFL right there.
Lil Jordan Humphrey, you got to love it.
Yep.
That's the name to watch right there just because that's a fun name. And there's a lot of names you can make on your fantasy team with that. So and then at the tight end, we got Cook, Hill, Troutman, blah, blah, blah. I don't really – although Jason Vanderlyn, another good dude right there. The tight end situation. But the rest of this is very exciting. What are your guys' thoughts? I mean – I'm seeing handcuffs everywhere. I'm seeing solid, solid depth moves here everywhere.
I need you to clarify, Mike. So when you said tight end, you went Cook, Hill, Troutman. Can you please clarify, was that Taysom Hill for the tight end? Or was that Josh Hill for the tight end? Because I feel like the correct answer is Taysom.
It should be Taysom, right? But, yeah, no, Josh Hill is the backup tight end to Cook on that team, but – man, that's an irrelevant position. He gets a touchdown. He has a big game. But come on. Like, this is all about Kamara. This is all about Thomas. This is all about Breeze. Emmanuel Sanders joining the ranks, and then all the praise being spoken about Tre'Quan Smith. This team's for real. I think this team's going to be real deal. They're going to be quite the threat, quite the attack.
Well, so they're the real deal. That is for sure. Like, this offense is absolutely loaded. And it's scary just to think that the defense could probably be even more loaded than the offense. Like, this team is well coached. They're well put together. It's a well-ran organization. Guys that I would definitely handcuff, Breeze, I would probably handcuff him with Jameis Winston. Kamara, you got Latavius Murray. We've already seen Latavius Murray without Alvin Kamara. He's done absolutely fantastic. Ty Montgomery, we seen a little bit of him in Green Bay a couple years ago. He was serviceable. You mentioned the wide receivers. I feel like we were just talking about DJ Thomas. I mean, Michael Moore. I mean, Michael Thomas. I'm sorry. I get those guys confused. Pardon. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, if his foot's right, this could be special. You did mention Tre'Quan Smith. I'm not as high on Tre'Quan Smith as some people. I just haven't seen it from him. I love Little Jordan Humphrey, just because I like saying his name, Little Jordan. And then you hammered home the tight ends of note, Cook and Hill. I want a part of this team. I want a part of this offense.
Yeah, so I think where I'm getting my part of this offense is in Latavius Murray. I'm trying to grab him around his ADP. You know, as George alluded to earlier, Kamara went out last year, and not only didn't he skip a beat, but Latavius Murray was the number one running back while Alvin Kamara was out. So Latavius Murray's a guy that I want because there's a role for him in this offense, even if Kamara's on the field, or at least in it suited up. And so I do want a piece of Latavius Murray in this offense. Ty Montgomery is a guy that if you find out Kamara's hurt, I'm probably pretty quick to pick him up off the waiver wire just because they will spell Latavius Murray here and there, and I think Ty Montgomery is definitely a serviceable back. So I'd watch for an injury from either Latavius Murray or Kamara and snag up Montgomery later if I have to. And Tre'Quan Smith, I know, George, you haven't seen anything out of him, but Drew Brees this offseason has been singing his praises, which is something new. So it may just be that it took him a couple of years to get acclimated, and maybe he's going to break out.
That very well could be, but I expect Drew Brees to say that about his teammates. Like, I don't expect Drew Brees to come out and say, oh, this guy looks like crap. He looks horrible on the field. I have no faith in him. Like, that's just not stuff you're going to get from Drew Brees.
I've just never heard him say anything about Tre'Quan.
That's because he didn't even know he was on the team. going back to Ty Montgomery, if Kamara goes down, what's really intriguing with Ty Montgomery is they can also move him out to wide receiver. Like, I believe he was a wide receiver in college, and we've seen it with Green Bay where they would line him up in the backfield, and then he would just trot right on out to wide receiver to the slot or to the wide out and go have to go one-on-one with like a linebacker out there. And that's just a huge mismatch for Ty Montgomery.
Actually, Ty Montgomery started in Green Bay as a wide receiver, and they ended up moving him to a running back because his first year he was eligible for both running back and wide receiver. So he was a wide receiver that they converted to a running back and did pretty well. That was the year where basically Green Bay had no running backs.
Yeah, they just kept running out. Everybody kept getting hurt, so they had to go to Ty Mont. Yep, nope, I agree. That's a good one there too. I'm not even that soft on Dwayne Washington. I mean, Dwayne Washington's a pretty good serviceable back as well. So, I mean, this team's loaded for bear. They're deep. They are good. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender. There is no doubt about it. As long as they can beat the referees in the playoffs, they will be good. which brings me to my next team and the referee's best friend. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've got the quarterback. We've got Tom friggin' Brady in Tampa Bay. He's backed up by Blaine Gabbert again somehow. Another one of those guys that's like, how is Blaine still around? The running back situation has changed a little bit. We got Ronald Jones as the RB1. Followed up Leonard Fournette. Hey, dude, I'm just going by with what Bruce Arians said, okay? He said Ronald Jones is my guy. He is lying. He is lying straight to his teeth because we've all seen Ronald Jones. We've all seen Leonard Fournette. We all know where this show is going. It's going to be Leonard Fournette, and I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Leonard Fournette. At the wide receiver, we got God Chriswin. We've got Michael Evans. We got Justin Watson, Tyler Johnson. A bunch of other names on there I see that just don't even strike a bell or anything. And then tight end, man, we got a lot of good tight ends here. We got O.J. Howard. We got the Gronkinator. We got Cameron Brate. So what are you guys thinking about this team? This team doesn't look like they're half bad either.
So Jason is our Tampa Bay fan, so I want to throw it to him. And Jason, would you please give us a deep dive and what we can expect from Cyril Grayson?
No, I can't. Cyril Grayson, I've never. No, so if we're let's get into the wide receiver situation first. You've got Godwin Evans, and they've got Watson listed third. What I can say is if Tyler Johnson's healthy, and he had some issues early in camp, if Tyler Johnson's healthy, expect him to push for that third wide receiver spot. Coming out of college, he was a guy who didn't have breakaway speed, but he was always a guy who was open. He'd find a way through route running or just being slippery to get open in college, and that's the kind of guy that you'd see Brady hit over the middle. So I can see him getting enough separation. The scouting reports on him basically said is always open. So I like Tyler Johnson as a really, really late flyer, or if he has a good week one, you pick him up for week two. Scotty Miller is a burner. He's one of those guys who's good for one long catch if Brady can get the arm under it. So those are a couple of deep guys. The rest of them are camp fodder. Ronald Jones, now look, I know Arians came out and said he was the starter. He probably is the starter week one. We're, what, a week from football starting and a week and 3 days from Tampa Bay's first game? Like, how acclimated can Leonard Fournette be? So, yeah, Fournette's going to get the ball a bunch week one. They're going to hand it to him and go straight. But Ronald Jones, Dare, those guys are probably going to be in a lot more than you would think week one, especially because Leonard Fournette probably got handed the playbook yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no doubt about that. Like, I'm not saying he's going to just get in there and just take right over, but I don't know. I feel like a Bruce Arians system is something that he can acclimate to relatively quickly, and I think he'll be dominating the work by about week three. What about you, George? What do you think about the Fournette situation? And let's talk a little bit more about Brady being in Tampa Bay, too.
So I think Fournette is very fortunate that he plays running back. If it was a wide receiver, if it was tight end, if it was a quarterback going to a new team, I would be a lot more concerned. I just think the running back position is easy for the most part. You hand the ball and you just got to know the holes to punch through. So I honestly believe Leonard Fournette, even though if he gets the playbook today, in a week and a half, he will have a pretty good idea of what the offense is. I'm not saying Arians runs a super complicated offense. He doesn't. It's just mostly volume. Will Ronald Jones probably start week one? Yeah. Will him and Leonard Fournette probably split the carries week one? Yeah. Will Leonard Fournette clearly be the better running back week one? Yeah. That's how I view that whole situation. I look at it like this. If Leonard Fournette gets injured, I want Ronald Jones out of everybody on this list. I think Dare Obagunwe, I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Dare.
All right. Obagunwe.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know.
Whatever you said. I think he has a role in this team. I think he's going to be their pass-catching back. And listen, I get it. You know, last year, you know, Fournette did get 100 targets. He caught about 60 of them. I think Dare is a really good pass catching back. And so I still think they're going to use him in a lot of the pass catching situations.
Well, so here's one thing we forgot to mention because it's not on this list. This team also signed LaShawn McCoy.
Who? The guy that could not get on the field in the playoffs last year over Chris Thompson. What's his name? The rookie that everybody was going nuts over in Kansas City last year.
Darwin Thompson.
Darwin Thompson. Thank you. So you're going to tell me LeSean McCoy, who could not get on the field.
Over Dare, maybe.
Over.
No.
Is going to get on the field over Dare? I don't think so.
Absolutely.
I would not be surprised if McCoy gets cut now that they signed Fournette.
No, here's what I see happening, because here's the problem with Leonard Fournette, who is, like you said, it's nice to have a running back or a new running back only because it's an easy position. But you know what's not easy? Blitz pickups. Leonard Fournette wasn't great at it in Jacksonville, and he knew the system. He's going to be absolutely bad at it in Tampa. Ronald Jones is not a good blocker. Keyshawn Vaughn is a rookie. Dare is literally the best best pass protection guy on this team. So he's going to have a role, and especially on third down. And it's not because he's a great pass catcher, but of all the running backs they have, he's the only one that can probably block worth a lick. And you need that when Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's such a statue.
He is such a statue. I don't see a whole lot of blitzing Tom Brady on this team. I mean, you just look at the weapons, Gronk, OJ Howard, as Mike called him, God Chriswin, Evans.
I got to give Sirius Radio credit for that. I can't remember. I think it was Hanson that calls him that, but to me, it's most fantastic. Appropriate name ever is God Chriswin.
Yep. So, this team, and it's your team, Jason, so I understand you being a little bit more skeptical than the rest. The Bucs have let you down year after year after year, except for a small window where they were actually really, really good.
Show us on the doll where they hurt you, Jason. Show us on the doll where they hurt you.
Yeah,
I mean, remember, I'm not wearing pants. I don't have to show you on the doll.
So I think you're being a little skeptical on them. I don't think Brady's going to be blitzed nearly as much as you think he is. The line in Tampa, as you know, is improved. Even from last year, and last year they were a pretty good line. The defense on Tampa is also really good, so I don't foresee a whole lot of shootouts in Tampa. I'm excited, honestly, about this division. Top to bottom, it's filled with fantasy goodness, and I absolutely love it. I want to get some of the Bucks. I want to get some of the Saints. I want to get some of the Falcons. And I even kind of want to get some of the Panthers. So of all the divisions we're going to go over, I think this particular division has the most fantasy relevance of all the divisions.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'll be you'll see a lot of these names in my on my teams in this draft this weekend. There are already tons of them already on there, so it's crazy how many shares of Michael Thomas I'm getting this year. I'm loving it. Although that's probably going to mean he's going to suck this year. Let's let's go ahead and get out of this power division and into this, this isn't the worst division. I mean, this is still kind of an exciting division. Definitely not as we should have ended with the NFC South. But we're going to end it up with the NFC West. And we've got the Arizona Cardinals. We got the quarterback over there. We got Kyler Murray being backed up by Brett Hundley. We got Kenyon Drake being backed up by Chase Edmonds, Eno Benjamin, DJ Foster, Jonathan Ward. Wide receivers, we got the legend, the man, Larry Fitzgerald. And he's going to be on the opposite side of DeAndre Hopkins this year, with Christian Kirk coming out of the slot backed up by Andy Isabella. Keyshawn Johnson, Hakeem Butler, it's about out of names on those guys. And the tight ends, I mean, Dan Arnold I recognize, but Max Williams, Daryl Daniels, I mean, this depth chart on tight end, I'm like, I've never heard of these guys, never seen too much tape on them. Dan Arnold is the only guy on this list that I kind of find intriguing because he's actually showed that he's a decent tight end. What do you guys think of this team? Is there any handcuffs on here that really stick out to you or anybody on this team that you're grabbing?
Yeah, there's a couple of them that really interest me, but again, I need to defer to Jason here. Jason,
yes.
Please tell me about Shane Leatherberry.
Shane Leatherberry. Hold on, let me Let me see how you spell.
He was born in Wisconsin on a June summer night.
Shane Leatherberry. You know, he played for Towson University.
Oh, I've heard of them. No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
That's a lie.
So you want me to tell you all you need to know about Shane Leathersberry?
Yes.
His ESPN page says overview, no information available.
So you're telling me your deep dive on Shane Leatherberry revealed no information.
I Googled Shane Leatherberry, and it was just his mom going, "He's good."
That's my boy.
I Googled it, and it says he works at a fast food restaurant, but this might not be the same Shane Leatherberry.
Shane Leatherberry.
Mike, it could be the same one.
Hey, yeah, so you never know.
So shifting over to NFL info, 5'11", 190, from Townsend. That's it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jason. I do appreciate that. I always go to you for the deep dives on the most obscure players available.
Now, I do like the name JoJo Ward, but I doubt he's going to do anything either.
I was going to go with JoJo Ward, but that Leatherberry just had me hooked.
JoJo Ward played for, you know, we should have gone with JoJo Ward. He played for Hawaii.
Nice.
And there's actually some tape. So he earned All Mountain West second team honors. He was a Biletnikoff Award winner, and he was an Earl Campbell Watch winner. Or nice. He was on the watch list. Yeah, we should have gone with JoJo. He seemed like the good dude.
Yeah, I still like the Leatherberry last name. That had me hooked.
We're completely fantasy irrelevant right now.
Yes, even in my 32 team IDP league, Shane Leatherberry is available.
Go get him. Go get him. Prove that one person knows who he is. Tick his percentage of ownership up to 0.0000001.
Exactly. So my take on this team is I like Kyler Murray. Rookie year last year, he finished as QB8 in most leagues. I think there's nothing but space for him to improve. I think I can see him finishing top five. Right now, currently, I've got him as my QB4. Behind, of course, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar. I have Dak at 3 and Kyler at 4. Love Kyler Murray. Like I said, he's got nowhere to go but up. Super safe floor with his rushing ability. Arizona wants to just run play after play after play after play. And they're going to have to run a ton of offensive plays in their division because they're in the NFC West, and the NFC West has a ton of good defenses. None of them are in Arizona, but they do face some good defenses. So they're going to have to air it out. They're going to have to try to move the ball quite a bit to if they want to have any hope at doing anything special this year. Kenyon Drake, not a huge fan of, and that's got nothing to do with him being on Miami. Last year, almost 35% of his fantasy scores came in two games, which is a huge amount. He hurt you more than he helped you on most weeks. Chase Edmonds, somebody I think is getting a lot of hype. I will draft Chase Edmonds, and I will put him on my bench. I think he's actually a little bit better than Kenyon Drake. I liked Eno Benjamin coming out. He's somebody in dynasty leagues I like to have on my taxi squad, but he's got an uphill battle to go if he hopes to get any significant playing time. Kenyon Drake's on a one-year deal. I believe he signed a franchise tag. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
Okay. I think Chase Edmonds has got a couple years on his deal. There is possibility Kenyon Drake leaves at the end of this year. If he wants more money than Arizona's willing to play, that does open up a door a little bit for Eno. So he's somebody I'm putting on my taxi squads. Wide receivers, I mean, what can you say? Larry Fitz is a living legend. DeAndre Hopkins is still a top five wide receiver in this league. Christian Kirk is one of the best slot wide receivers in the NFL. I'm expecting huge things for him this year. And I still like Andy Isabella. Like I can see a situation where in a year, maybe two, Fitz decides to hang up the boots. And I can definitely see Hopkins, Christian Kirk, and Andy Isabella being the three wide receivers there. So those are the guys I'm keeping my eyes on. As far as tight ends, I don't care who they have at tight end in Arizona. I'm just not interested. The only Arizona tight end I'm interested in is the one on the opposite team, because every tight end that plays Arizona kills them.
They did make some moves at linebacker, so we'll see if that holds up. I'm 100% with you. I do like Chase Edmonds a lot. I do think he's the better back there. I can tell you I've got maybe like two or three shares of Kenyon Drake, and he is a guy I've been trying to move all offseason. Unfortunately, I just keep trying to get running back one value out of him because I feel like somebody might accidentally pull the trigger on that. So then, like, you know, we just went over the receivers. I agree. That's going to be a great – even Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, I like him. I also like Hakeem Butler, if you got to dig a little deeper. Both those guys are pretty tried and true. Decent receivers. They look like they're going to be decent fits if we got any of these guys going down, especially when you start talking about, like, Larry Fitzgerald, who's been in since Frank Gore started his rookie season, I believe, so –
So George mentioned Kenyon Drake and he wasn't high on him. And here's the thing. I'm a lot higher on him than George is. And I do want to say, on a point per game basis, he was running back 13 with the Cardinals. The most impressive thing, though, is he was consistent. He scored double digits 6 of his 8 games. And he had big game-winning performances down the stretch as well. He improved every week he was there. And he scored 90 fantasy points over the final 3 weeks. So what George says is true. He scored 35% in those 3 weeks. But even before that, he was double-digit points. He was scoring touchdowns. He had 117 receptions or 117 receiving yards. He had 10 total touchdowns last year, but 8 in the Cardinals. And remember, he got traded right before the trade deadline. The whole time he was with the Cardinals, he produced. So I know what George is saying. I understand. But for me, I'm a little bit higher on him just because there was a little bit of consistency there once he got traded to the Cardinals. And as the season went on, he just got better with them.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue. Like, those are all great numbers. I just think that with Hopkins there, like, there's going to be a lot less footballs to go around. Like, he is still the guy there. So I don't know if Kenyon Drake's going to see the same amount of passes going his way. I think overall Fitz will see a reduction in his. I think, you know, Kirk may see a small spike playing from the slot, but I'm just not sure how they're going to distribute the ball there. That's I'm just leery of it. That's all. But like you said, you know, he did perform a lot better in Arizona than when he was with Miami. That's for sure.
Excellent. Yeah, no, good points. I think I agree. Like, I just can't get on board. I don't know what it is about Kenyon Drake. He's another one of those guys that I mean, like I said, I got a few shares just in case this guy pops off again, but I got to fade him. I'm not feeling comfortable about him, and I like Chase Edmonds' value that I'm getting a lot later, because I think even if Kenyon Drake's on the field, he's still a relevant football player. We've got the Rams coming up next. We've got the quarterback. We've got Jared Goff. We've got John Walford backing him up. Bryce Perkins. We got Malcolm Brown at the running back. We've got Daryl Henderson backing him up. Cam Akers. We got John Kelly. That's kind of a mess over there, but I do believe they are still planning on starting out with Malcolm Brown. With the wide receivers down, now we're getting some exciting stuff going. We got Cooper Kupp, we got Woods, we got Josh Reynolds, we got Nasimia Webster. Okay, now we're starting to get into names I don't know again. Van Jefferson, Greg George. And then the tight end situation over there is actually kind of good. We got Tyler Higbee, and we got Gerald Everett, and then a bunch of guys that back them up as well. What do you guys think of this team this year? I mean, it's not as exciting as it has been, but I feel like there's still a lot of fantasy value to be had here. Who are you guys taking for running back here?
Cam Akers or bust for me out of this group. It's, Daryl Henderson hurt in camp a little bit. Giving Cam Akers the opportunity to run with the ones. As much as I wish Daryl Henderson would do well, because I have an autographed football from him from last year when we met him, I see Cam Akers taking this role early and never looking back. So I'm taking Cam Akers as far as the running backs go.
Yep, same here. It's Cam Akers for me. That's That's the guy that I absolutely want the most, not just this year, but going forward as well. Like Jason said, we met Daryl Henderson, real cool guy, super, super nice. But I'm just not sure he's got enough talent to overtake Cam Akers. Like, Cam Akers is a really, really good running back. They say Malcolm Brown is the starter for now. That's not going to last very long at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think they actually do start pretty comfortably with Malcolm Brown. I think Cam Akers being a rookie. I mean, we're seeing a lot of these. There's a lot of rookie hype this offseason. And, I mean, if we look back to last year, we look back to the year before that, I mean, really the only guy to come out the gate and just start smashing is you've got Saquon Barkley, you've got Ezekiel Elliott. But outside of that, you don't really have a whole lot of running backs that just came in there being rookies, being amazing. So, I mean, these guys don't really have, to me, what that's called that it factor, that separating factor, that Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, we knew well before the draft that he, when he came in the NFL, this guy should be the 101 because he is going to be smashing the football. We knew he was coming in head full of steam. Saquon Barkley, same thing. I mean, we like Cam Akers. We like Jonathan Taylor. We like DeAndre Swift. I mean, we like all these guys. They're great, but they're not tested yet. And, I mean, I'm telling you, the NFL is a whole different level than college. And these guys haven't got to see an NFL snap, and their very first snap is going to be live. There is going to be no practice. There's practice games and stuff like that, but these guys aren't trying to destroy you, and that's what they're going to be getting. So I'm still leaning a little bit more Malcolm Brown here. I still grab him because you can grab him in the 15th, 16th round. And, I mean, if he pans out to be a running back one, he might be the value of the draft this year. I'm a big-time believer in Cam Akers' value. I'm a big-time believer in his draft asset. And I really think going forward, you know, if you're looking at him as a dynasty asset, he's fantastic. But I just really, as a redraft guy, I'm still worried about the rookie situation because rookies scare me. So we got over here to Cooper Kupp. We got Robert Woods. What do you guys think about these guys this year? They kind of lost a little bit of their core without Brandon Cooks there.
So I really like Josh Reynolds. I think Josh Reynolds is a really good wide receiver. The problem is right now in camp, he's being pushed by Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson was somebody that the Rams went out and spent the second round pick on. So they definitely invested in Van Jefferson. They spent high draft capital to get him. His best game in his entire college career was in the 2019 Orange Bowl, where he caught six passes for 129 yards. He was both at Florida and I think he was at Tennessee as well. He went to two separate colleges. He transferred over to Florida after his sophomore year. He's a really talented wide receiver. He's somebody I don't mind having on the bench that I think as the season progresses, you will be able to get some value out of him. We all liked the three wide receivers that they had there last year, Kupp, Woods, and Cook. So if we liked those three and we thought Jared Goff was good enough to support three wide receivers last year, I think he's good enough to do it again. At the beginning of the year, it's going to be Josh Reynolds. It's his second or third year in the system. He knows the system. He's got NFL experience. So it's going to, you know, lean to him to start. But I just, as much as I like Josh Reynolds, I think Van Jefferson is just a better overall wide receiver. And as the year progresses, I could just see him, you know, sliding right into that third wide receiver role on this team.
Yeah, he's the guy I had circled here. I do want to mention that as far as this team goes, Kupp and Woods are the slam dunks, and everybody else on here is potentially a question mark. You know, we talked about the running back situation being muddy because Cam Akers is a rookie. They've got Daryl Henderson, which, you know, they traded up last year to pick. Malcolm Brown's listed as the starter because he's a guy in the system. Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett are both relatively talented. Had a good end to the season last year with their tight end, with the way they ran two tight ends. And, you know, so there's potential value there, but because it's Higbee and Everett week to week, you're not going to know which one because they're both talented. So I think there's like the tight ends are muddy. The running back's muddy. I'm not sure Goff is just one of those. He may be a quarterback one some weeks and he won't be some other weeks, and he's a guy you start against matchups, maybe against Arizona twice, but I think really the two guys on here that you lock into are Kupp and Woods. And like George, I love Van Jefferson as a talent later in the season after he's acclimated to some actual football with contact.
So moving on to San Francisco, where we went from muddy waters to probably one of the muddiest pits of water out there. We got Jimmy Garoppolo leading the helm. He's backed up by Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard. I mean, this guy's kind of relevant because he finds his way on the bench quite often. And then you got Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, Derek McKinnon, the Bud Light guy. You've got Jeff from down the street. You've got Nick from across on the corner. Those are the running backs. Then you got the wide receiver situation. You got Deebo Samuel. You got Brandon Ayuk. You got Kendrick Bourne. Jalen Hurd is on the IR. Dante Pettis is gone. I mean, goodness sakes, this team looks like it's just got all kinds of holes in it. And then, oh, reliable in the tight end spot. Somehow this glory beaming light coming out, we've got George Kittle. And backed up by nobody because he does not need a backup. Even though there are names.
Wait a minute.
You need to be corrected, sir. My family member, Mr. Jordan Reed, is the backup tight end in San Francisco, sir. And I expect to see a lot of two tight end sets with both Kittle and Jordan Reed on the field at the same time, mostly because there's no wide receivers right now that are healthy for the San Francisco 49ers. There's talks Deebo may be healthy to start the season. He's sprinting up and down the sidelines. But the problem is with his injury, it's the cutting. It's not exactly the sprinting up and down. So if he can handle the cutting on that foot, he'll be good to go. But we haven't seen that. We've just seen him running in straight lines, and that's not the issue with the foot.
So I feel like Mike forgot that Jordan Reed was on this team, much like Jordan Reed probably forgot he was on this team.
No, Jordan Reed knew he was on. He knew he was on the team because he was getting paychecks from them.
Well, okay. Is it one of those situations like Monday through Thursday he forgets which team he's on, and then Friday he gets the check and he goes, "Oh yeah."
No, he knows. He knows. Listen,
I feel like he's one concussion from that. He's one concussion from
Muhammad Ali.
If he bumps his head on the friggin' door or something like that, he's done for, man. I didn't forget that he was there. I actually I did kind of forget that he played in football because, man, I just want this guy to be gone so bad. I'm like, just go home. Just stop, man. Please stop. But I'm really not too worried about Kittle going down either. Like, that's one guy who's just pretty solid.
So Kendrick Bourne is a name on here who in spots last year had decent games, had big catches. I have a soft spot for guys like Dante Pettis, who was supposed to be something and then not. So he could produce, but yeah, this wide receiver core is just a mess. And then going to running backs, I know you talked about Carl down the street. The problem with them having somebody like Carl down the street is you know he's going to get put on the field at least for one game, get 100 yards and four touchdowns, and everybody's going to pick him up, and then you're never going to see Carl from down the street again.
Or even worse, he'll go in there and he'll get 6 yards and four touchdowns. You know, right. You'll have somebody like Mostert get 200 yards and zero touchdowns, and then he'll come in there and he'll get the four touchdowns. Like, oh, sorry, guys. Like, I just came out of nowhere for that.
That's the Jeff. We call that the Jeff Wilson.
That's the Jeff Wilson. Jeff
Wilson, the reason why he gets is on the team and he's active during the week is because he's an outstanding special teams player.
I can't wait to hear that.
That's the reason. That's the reason he makes the team. And for Jeff Wilson, like, I'm thrilled for him. Got a solid paycheck. Got a nice little paycheck. Gets to play on an NFL team. Why? Because he works his ass off, and he's an outstanding special teams player. The three running backs that really boil down to here is Mostert, Coleman, and McKinnon. I've never been a McKinnon guy. I don't think I will ever be a McKinnon guy. It's only a matter of time before he gets hurt and is replaced by Matt Asiata. between Coleman. They paid Coleman a lot of money. Not really a lot of money, but they paid him pretty decent to come over. And he's just underwhelmed completely. Mostert was an undrafted guy who came out. They paid him pretty good for a special teams player. But he came out and his agent said that he wanted a trade unless they could rework his contract to pay him running back money. And they did. So clearly the 49ers are invested in Mostert. He's probably the best running back on this team. He's the one guy I want, but like, I don't mind taking Coleman late. I don't mind taking a flyer on Jeff Wilson. I don't mind super duper late. Like you're talking round 18, 19, 20. I don't mind taking a Jerick McKinnon just because at some point these guys are going to get on the field. And let's not pretend that Tevin Coleman and really even Mostert are guys known for being healthy and being able to play all the time. They're just not.
Well, I was going to say the other reason Jeff Wilson was on the field is because they had a guy like Matt Breida who would start the game for you and then five plays in get hurt, and then Jeff Wilson would have to come in. You know, it happened a lot. So, you know, I do like – Wilson is a guy to watch for injuries. McKinnon, you know, I don't know. He's going to play. These are guys off a waiver wire, potentially not somebody you're drafting, but you know, they're guys to watch. It's just such a muddy, you know, the problem with that San Francisco running back situation is you'd have Mostert killing it week in and week out, and then they go to the Super Bowl and not run him. You know what I mean? And that happens in season as well. You'll have a running back with a hot hand, and they just try to outsmart themselves and start running somebody like Coleman or Wilson or McKinnon. And so you can't rely on them week in and week out. So unless they realize those kind of mistakes and turn it around, then it's going to be hard for me to recommend any of these guys.
I like the core. I like Mostert. I think he's going to be – I think this running back attack kind of reminds me a little bit of the Falcons from a couple years back where you had the Devonta Freeman-Coleman punch. This will be the Mostert-Coleman punch with the accent of Jeff Wilson on the side. Jerick McKinnon, I think you might see a splash of him. I'm really not worried about seeing him on the field for more than a few plays, though. I mean, that guy's been if he's been one thing, it's been consistently injured. So
the crazy thing about Mr. Wilson, and that's what I'm going to start referring to him as, is Mr. Wilson. Like, I just want to go back to my home alone days, but
Dennis the Menace.
Dennis the Menace days. Yes, thank you. With Mr. Wilson, I actually have him on a league, and I started him a couple of times last year. And it actually paid off for me because, like you mentioned, Breida would go out injured and somehow, some way, Jeff Wilson would find his way on the field and fall into the end zone. And for the most obscure guy in the league, would just go out and, you know, put up 8 to 10 points in a crazy-ass league that I'm in. And it was just kind of nice.
And I'd like to also throw out there that the best name on this team is Jamichael Hasty. That's an awesome name. I love it. Jamichael Hasty. I might have you guys start calling me that. Just on the side.
Savon Ahmed is pretty good as well.
That's a good one. Well, that's a good one.
You guys, you're completely missing the Poindexter.
Yeah, you know, Sean Poindexter. I mean, this team is full of great names. Chris Finke, really even is. Come on, like, let's have some fun. Okay, let's get over to the Seattle Seahawks. The last but not least, although, man, the South was a lot more fun. We have the quarterback. We have Wilson. We got Geno Smith backing him up. Anthony Gordon in the hole there. We got Carson. We got Hyde. We got Penny. We got this team has a lot of running backs too. At the wide receiver, we got Metcalf. We got Lockett. We got David Moore. Philip Dorsett, which is kind of intriguing. That's one guy I'm like, interesting. And then at the tight end position, we've got Greg Olsen, then we got Will Disley, then we got Colby Parkinson, then my guy, Jacob Hollister. That's why I went to that guy, because I love Jacob Hollister. So, yeah, there you have it. What do you guys think of the running back situation here? I mean, we know old Russell Wilson is going to be good at the helm, and if he's not good, hopefully they go to Anthony Gordon and not Geno Smith. What about the running back situation, though? What do you guys think?
Carson came out and said he's healthy, so I like I like Carson where he's being drafted right now. He's going around a lot of guys like Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. He's going in that tier of running back. And if he's actually healthy, I think he's the one with the least amount of challenges. They've shown that they are willing to give him a lot of touches when he's healthy. So I'm a big Carson guy this year. I've drafted him. I drafted him in the Scott Fishbowl. I've got him in a couple places. So I'm high on Chris Carson this year.
Love Chris Carson. Dude is a bruiser. They spent a lot of draft capital on Rashard Penny that just hasn't paid off for them. I don't see Penny being long with this team. I think the team is ready just to move on without him, and I think they'll do it after this year. They signed Carlos Hyde in the offseason, mostly because Penny's been a huge disappointment, and he's not healthy. They brought in Travis Homer as well. They drafted him. He's somebody I like in a lot of deeper leagues. In dynasty leagues, like I have Homer on a couple of my teams, but he's not somebody I'm expecting a whole lot for. The running back you want definitely on this team is by far and away Carson. He's the best one there. Hyde will have somewhat of a role. I don't expect it to be a huge role. I think he's on his like fifth or sixth team in as many years. Like he's just at this point, he's just a guy. Like, I'm sorry, Chris. I know you have this weird psychopathic affiliation and affection for Carlos Hyde. He's just a dude at this point. He's not very good. I don't care what he did in 2013. You know who was good in 2013? Josh Gordon, who just got re-signed by the Seattle Seahawks. So let's add Josh Gordon to the wide receiver list here, along with Metcalf, Lockett, David Moore, Philip Dorsett. I won't talk much about Josh Gordon. I love Josh Gordon. I think he's a good player. He got a lot of trouble with his substance abuse. As I've always said, I root for the player more so than, you know, for fantasy purposes. I don't really care. I don't think Josh Gordon is what he was, but I do root for the guy personally. I hope he overcomes his demons and his challenges. I like the fact that he will be back in Seattle this year. Put him across with Metcalf and Lockett. He's somebody on some weeks you'll be able to use as a flex.
I was seeing, I never even, like, I had a tough time ever talking about his demons because all the guy did was smoke weed, like, for Christ's sake. Yep. Like, let the guy smoke weed and then run the 4-4-40 and catch touchdowns. Like, what's so wrong with that?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's had challenges all throughout his life. Definitely, they did a show on him, and it was a very eye-opening show, some of the challenges that he's faced throughout his life. It's been a lot.
Right.
He's one of those guys where if he had all his ducks in a row, like we would be talking about him in the same breath as some of the all-time greats in at the position. But his life has been so derailed by his personal demons.
So I've got to ask, and I know it's just weed, right? So it's just weed.
It's not just weed. He had alcohol issues as well.
But the guys who, and from what I've heard, you know, if you test positive on an NFL drug test, it's because you couldn't go without it long enough to pass a test. I know it's alcohol, but it was just weed. He kept getting busted for weed over and over and over again. And it's just weed. It's one of the most mild drugs out there. But don't you think there's a problem there when, and it's a mental issue and not just a weed issue, right? But don't you think there's a problem with a guy who knows that, hey, for a couple of weeks, I'm going to have to lay off this so I can play football and they're not going to test me again for the rest of the season?
Oh, it's a couple of months.
And he can't do it.
It's a couple of months that you have to lay off of it.
Well, okay, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but I mean, like, so you're talking about, like, yes, it's easy enough just to not do it. I mean, right? Like, I mean, there's plenty of people who go out there and don't do it every single day. I'm just saying, like, as far as, so if it were me, I would have no issues. I'd be like, nope, I'm not going to smoke. Here we go. You know, like, but I don't understand, I guess, like, where it was ever just such a stigmated thing. I mean, there's no difference between going home and having a couple of drinks. And I'm sure that there's plenty of NFL players who get to do that. You know, I mean, this is what this guy chose to do to unwind. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, I think his whole issue. I think the whole issue was that he got himself in such a position that he couldn't do without it. Right,
right. Right.
And I think I don't care what the drug is, legal, not legal, you know, anything like that. once you get yourself in that position, it's probably good for the league to have you step back out and try and clean yourself up. And we saw it a couple years ago, because a couple years ago it wasn't weed. It was, you know, he took time away from the team on his own because of, like George said, alcohol. And, you know, it's just that that guy just couldn't handle the pressure of trying to perform every week. And it's unfortunate because, like George said, guy has the talent, all the talent in the world. And when he's on the field, he could have been one of the best.
Oh, yeah. He was fantastic.
He was dominant in seasons where he could play. So it really is unfortunate. Steering off of that topic, man, Metcalf, Lockett, Philip Dorsett, those guys, that's a formidable wide receiver core. David Moore a couple years ago had some play, and I think on a different team that who actually throw more, David Moore could be something decent. I also wanted to mention, going back to running backs, DJ Dallas was a guy they drafted and was getting a lot of hype in camp. Now that some of their other running backs are healthy, he's a guy that'll end up going to the end of the bench. But he's somebody to look out for. We've said it a lot this show. If there's injuries crop up and Carson can't stay healthy, Penny's not a healthy guy, Hyde's old. Like, if those injuries crop up, DJ Dallas is a guy I'm looking to pick up, because that offensive line's pretty good. That scheme is good for running backs. So he's somebody I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a situation where you're basically one injury away from being active. I mean, Chris Carson gets hurt, Hyde's already going to be out there. Hyde's already going to be an active piece, right? Like, he's going to be involved one way or the other. So then you go to Rashad Penny, which, I mean, even if he is healthy, you put him out there for a couple plays and he'll Jordan Reed you. He'll be done. And so, I mean, like, yeah, DJ Dallas, that's a great grab. That's a great stash, especially, like I said, I mean, you've got a lot of leagues out there right now that have a lot of deep benches going because of this COVID thing. Grab them. There's nothing harming you. There's nothing hurting that. And yeah, that wide receiver core. Let's talk a little bit about Greg Olsen. I really like Greg Olsen a lot coming out the gate this year. What do you guys think?
I mean, I don't know.
It boils down to health.
Yeah, I'm still, listen, I know he was injured last year, and we don't know how he's going to do this year. Unfortunately, we didn't get any preseason games. I'm still a Will Disley guy. I think he is still the best tight end on this team, even with them bringing in Greg Olsen. His health is a huge question. Clearly, coming off injury, Will Disley has, you know, health concerns as well. But I still think overall, talent-wise, at this point in their careers, I'm a Will Disley guy. He's the guy I want. And I think by the end of the year, he will be the best tight end on this team by far.
How dare you with Jacob Hollister on that bench? How dare you, George?
Don't you want to just shake the shit out of Pete Carroll and go get Russell Wilson a decent tight end? Because, right. You know, in spurts, we saw Will Disley do really well until he gets hurt. And Hollister, and over the years, you've seen Russell Wilson will use a tight end in spurts, but then they've all been injury prone. And it's like year after year, you're like, man, just go out and get Russell Wilson a tight end. Get him a tight end. And they go out and they get Greg Olsen, and you know, Greg Olsen played well when he was healthy. He's been hurt more often than not the last couple of years, so it's tough. Will Disley's the same way, though. I love Will Disley, the talent, and, you know, him coming back from his injury as quickly as he has is actually pretty impressive. But, man, it's just another injury risk. So, you know, Jacob Hollister is going to be the tight end one by the end of the season, just because he's going to be the only tight end left. And then we're going to go in the offseason and we're going to yell, Pete Carroll, get Russell Wilson a tight end.
Right. I mean, the one thing about it is you want to start the tight end that's on this team, no matter who it is starting. Russell Wilson loves the tight end position, so I'm starting whoever it is.
It is unlimited.
Yep. They just start borrowing running backs from San Francisco and run them in the tight end position. So you're talking about,
you know, next year, Jordan Reed will be on the Seahawks.
There you go. That'll be who they grab. There you go. Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up for our two divisions, the NFC South and the NFC West. There's a lot of talent in there, guys. There's a lot of talent coming out of the NFC this year. Again, the focus being on COVID. I mean, I hope we were able to get you some players out there, some names to grab, especially on those deeper stash benches and things like that. You got a lot of players out there that also are just, they're not worth the spot. If you have a league that just has like 5-6 bench spots, you don't need to really be going out there and grabbing these handcuffs. You don't need to be grabbing these positions because they're not going to be relevant. That's where you're going to just have to be fab savvy. You're going to have to kind of, this isn't the year to go out there and just spend out on a running back in week one or anything like that. This is going to be a maintain your fab. Do what you got to do. Hold on to as much of it as you possibly can because this is going to be a week-to-week thing, guys. I mean, you're going to have situations where whole entire teams might not be playing football week-to-week. So these are all things to look out for. Make sure you keep an eye on those depth charts. Guys, where can they follow you at?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at BFTGpod. I'm also on the Sleeper at BFTGEO.
And you can follow me on Twitter at BFTGJason and on the Sleeper app at BFTGDrMill. Also, you can go to our other podcast, BFTGpodcast.com.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely worth a listen there. The BFTG podcast is always one of my favorites. And you can follow all of us at FF_University. And you can follow me at DirtyJobs21. And guys, I think that's going to do it for this week. And we will talk to you, well, we'll be talking again tomorrow, but we'll be talking about the AFC. But until next week, guys, go FFU.